that the Lord guided me here, because it kind of helps us understand the whole general concept of faith. Here in Romans chapter 10, there are some that will say, but Pastor, this is written to the Jews. Why are you preaching to us? It's written to the Jews. They're right. It was. But what Paul wrote to the Jews is that you need to get saved the same way as the Gentiles do. And this is how. And so it's really applicable to all of us. We know that because we start in verse 12 and 13. We find out that salvation by faith is available to anybody. Anybody. I remember for years witnessing to my dad, and others had witnessed to my dad. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but for years he used to say, he was in World War II, fought in the Pacific, in the Navy, but you know, he did some bad things that a lot of people in the military do during war. And he thought, God will never forgive me. And it took it to his deathbed before he finally came face to face with God and realized God will forgive anybody that comes to him. And we know it's for anybody, verse 12 and 13. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Jews, for many of them, they thought, we are God's elect. We are going to heaven because we are Jews. And yet, Scripture says, no. Jesus died for our salvation. To the Jew first, but also to the Greek. And so he's saying here, listen, there's no difference. It doesn't matter if you're Jew. It doesn't matter if you're Gentile. It doesn't matter what color you are. It does not matter, male, female. If you're a breathing human being, Christ died for you. And people need to know that. There's no difference. It tells us that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, born sinners. We live sinners. And he died for you. Doesn't matter if you're Jews. Doesn't matter if you're Gentile. As long as you're a human being, you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. So there's no difference. It's available, it says, to whosoever. We know that whosoever, for God so loved the world that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word whosoever, you know, I've told you before, I don't read Greek. I don't speak Greek, but I can look up Greek in some lexicons and Strong's and things. And that word whosoever, that's an interesting word. You know what it means? It means all. It means any. It means the whole. It means whosoever. Everybody is a whosoever that Christ died for. So we see that we're told there's no difference, that the requirement for salvation starts off with you being a human being. Are we all human beings in here? I'm just making sure. If any of you are from aliens from space, it doesn't say so, but I'm pretty sure he probably died for you too. But I know some of you think you're aliens from space. But that's all right. You're a whosoever. And so he says, whosoever. There's no difference. Somebody could say, well, I'm too bad. You're still a whosoever. But I've done this. You're still a whosoever. But there's no buts to it. You're a whosoever. And if you're whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what's interesting is that word name. That word name means someone with authority or the character. So when we call upon the name of the Lord, it's more than just saying, Jesus. It's recognizing who Jesus is. And that moves into the next point when we talk about salvation is a command based on faith and repentance. In verse 8 it says, but what saith it? Thy word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Remember, he's speaking primarily to the Jews here, and what he's telling them is, you guys have known Scripture from the day you were born almost. You know what the answer is. You just haven't grasped the answer yet. You've heard it. Many of you have even repeated it. But as Jesus said, your mouth speaks of me, but your heart is far from me. Many people will pronounce, yeah, I believe there's a God, and that's the first step. Scripture tells us in Hebrews, you can't come to God unless you believe that He is. And many times witnessing to people, that's where I start if I don't know them very well. I say the first thing, do you believe there's a God? Because if they absolutely reject that there is a God, it's hard to witness. How can you tell them God saved you if they don't believe there's a God? Which brings me, a little side note, to atheists. Why do atheists hate Christians so much? If they don't believe a God, what matter does it matter if we believe there is one? If I went to an atheist and said, I believe in unicorns, he goes, well, that's nice. I believe there are aliens living on this planet. He'd go, that's nice. I said, I believe there's a God. He goes, what's wrong with you? You know God doesn't exist. Well, pal, neither do unicorns. Well, not that I've seen, you know, the one-horned things, but you never know. But see, the thing is, God says that many people have heard, yet they reject. In Acts chapter 17, you don't have to turn there. Just let me read a couple of verses, 30 and 31. He says, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all, and that he raised him from the dead. Righteousness comes through Jesus Christ, but God commands everyone to repent. And that's the first step in salvation. And let me clear this up. Many people say, well, repentance isn't necessary. Well, they're thinking of repentance as in changing your life. You know, I'll come to Christ as soon as I turn over a new leaf. No, you don't have to do that. I'll come to Christ as soon as I go to a church a few times and clean up my act or learn a few more things, or maybe if I read. No. Changing what you do is not really repentance. Changing how you think is. In fact, repentance, that's what it means, to think differently. That's what God means, think differently. To the Jews, they said, we are God's elect. We are God's chosen people. If I'm born a Jew, I'm guaranteed to go to heaven. As long as I follow the law, I'm good. And Jesus said, no, you have to trust me. So in order for them to change, to do it God's way and not their way, they needed to change their thinking. Repent. Like we read in Hebrews, you can't come to God unless you believe that He is. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Repentance first of all, causes us to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Now, some of you go, wait. Does that mean I have to make him my Lord to be saved? No. But you have to start by acknowledging that he is Lord. You have to accept that he is Lord. He is God. Because unless he's God, he cannot give what he's promised. That's part of repentance. And the reason, you know, in verse 9, it says that after thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. That takes repentance to get to that part. Remember, he's speaking to the Jews. To the Jews, they could not call anybody Lord because that was God's name. That's what they called God. So for a Jew to accept Jesus as Lord meant he had to change his thinking to believe that Jesus was God. He didn't have to accept him necessarily, but he had to start believing that's who he was. To the Greeks, their Lord was the emperor, was whoever the king was. They were required to worship their king as Lord. So to the Greeks, to acknowledge that there's somebody greater than their king would require repentance. So to acknowledge Jesus as Lord for the Greeks, for the Gentiles, would be to acknowledge there is someone greater than my leader here on earth. That's why it takes repentance. You have to change your thinking. You have to change who you think is in charge of your life. Prior to salvation, who do you believe is in charge of your life? You think you are. You think you are. And we try to do everything based on that. And yet, we have to come to the acknowledgement that there is one greater than we are. That's God Almighty. God who is presented to us as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But just believing that he's God is not enough. It tells us in James, I believe it is, that James 2:19, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. It's more than just a head knowledge. There's a lot of people in our world who believe that there's a God, and yet they haven't accepted him as their God. And there's a difference. That's where the repentance part comes in. Believing that, go from there is a God, there is a greater power, to believing that I need that greater power in my life. Many people say, well, I see a lot of Christians. They're doing the same things I'm doing. They're just as bad as I am. They're doing I can't argue with you. There are some that way. They shouldn't be, but there are. But what we need to do is take our eyes off of others and start looking at him. Because it's him, Jesus, that will make a change in your life. He tells us here, it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So what do we need to do for salvation? Well, it tells us that we need to, verse 9, first of all in Romans, thou confess with thy heart, or with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. 1 Corinthians 15 goes into a little more depth. It says, for I declared unto you first of all that which I received, how Jesus died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So what's the general gospel message? You have to memorize the whole Word of God, then you can get to heaven. Well, if that's true, very few of us would make it. I don't know about you, but for me, I don't think I could memorize the whole thing, even if I knew that's what get me to heaven, just because I don't have the capabilities to do it. I would try real hard, but I forget things at times. If someone told you, if you attend church faithfully, never miss a Sunday, never miss a Sunday afternoon, never miss a Wednesday, then you're going to heaven. Nope, that don't do it either. Oh, I forgot. When you're attending, make sure you put a lot of money in the offering plate. Don't do it either. What to get you to heaven? You have to believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose the third day. That's it. Have faith in that. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we say that a lot. For by grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, that's why repentance isn't changing what you're doing, because that'd be works. It's changing the way you think. It's making you realize that if you want to get to heaven, you have to believe that you are a sinner, and that the only way to have that sin forgiven is to believe that Jesus died for your sins. And here's the great thing. It's offered to all. It's offered to everybody. In fact, and I hope I say this right, your sins have already been forgiven. But it doesn't work until you accept that forgiveness. Let me see if I can find. We've been studying, what are we in, 1 Timothy on Wednesdays? It says, you ask yourself, well, who does God only want certain people to be saved? Let's see. It's you and you and you and you and you. The rest of you can hang out with us if you want to, but no. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says that in verse 3, that God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And verse 6 says that Jesus gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus Christ gave a ransom for all. You know what a ransom is? A ransom is this. Noah's in jail, or Noah's been kidnapped. Let's say I kidnap Noah, and I go to his mom, his dad. I say, I've kidnapped your son. I'm holding him in bondage, and if you pay me a certain amount of money, I will release him. And so they pay me a certain amount of money, a ransom, and when that ransom is paid, I release him from bondage. The whole world is in bondage to sin. But Jesus has already paid the ransom for our sin. Now, I've kidnapped him, and I get paid the ransom. So I tell him, Noah, you're set free. You're released from bondage. And he says, no, I like it here. I'd rather stay with you than stay with my mom and dad. No, you don't understand. You're free. Go. No, I want to stay in bondage. That's the way the world is. Jesus said, I died for you. All you have to do is accept it. I paid the ransom. You believe that, you can be set free. And yet people say, no, I would rather stay in bondage to sin. How dumb is that? It's like being freed from jail and they open up the door. Can you imagine Paul and Silas when they released from prison? If they said, no, we like it here. Well, we know the door's wide open. We know there was an earthquake and everybody, you know, was running around like chickens with their head cut off. But we like it in this prison, this cold, dark, damp place. We're going to stay here. No, they saw the door open, they left. And that's what the free gift of salvation is offered to you. You accept the fact. You repent, saying, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I accept it. Here. Because it tells us that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. So why do you have to believe in your heart? Many people go, well, you mean ask Jesus in your heart? How can you ask Jesus into your heart? That seems kind of stupid. Well, yeah, if you think of the heart as just that boom, boom, boom part of you, you know, the life-giving part. But the heart is who you are. It's your being. Think of that loved one you have. And you say, how much do you love them? Well, I've given my whole heart. They're the center of my universe because I've given them my heart. So if that meaning the heart is the center of your universe, the center of who you are, everything you are, when we believe in our heart with our very being, that Jesus is our Savior, we've accepted the forgiveness He has to offer, and our sins are gone. Poof. Amen? I just making sure you're awake. If you're here today and you've experienced that, you know what I mean. I got saved as a young lad. I don't know, 9 or 10, somewhere in there. Been so long ago, I forgot the exact. But anyway, I still remember the relief I felt when I realized my sins had been forgiven. There was a man at the church I started in Hyde Park. I'd been witness to a guy for a long time. And finally, he says, that's it. I accept the forgiveness of sins Jesus has to offer me. And he prayed and he thanked Jesus for doing that. Afterwards, I said, how do you feel? He says, I feel a peace like I've never felt before. It's like the whole world has been lifted off. When we sing that song, burdens are lifted at Calvary, that's more than just a song, that's a truth. And so Jesus said, listen, I'm going to die for you because I love you. I'm going to give my life so that your sins can be forgiven. So what's a great thing? What's so great about having our sins forgiven? Because if you die in your sins, you're going to hell. That's that simple. So if you die in your sins, you're going to hell. You're condemned. What if you die with your sins forgiven? You get to go with Him. You get to live in heaven forever. Some people will go, well, I got a lot of friends in hell. It'll be fun down there. You're lying to yourself. Jesus told a story about the rich man who died and went to the flames. You know what he said? Somebody go tell my brothers they don't want to be here. So if you have friends that died and you know they're in hell, they're down there right now saying, go tell my friend, they don't want to be here. And it gets even worse. But instead, we're going to get to be in heaven. Those streets of gold? Nah. The banquet supper we talked about in Sunday school? Oh, man, I'm going to tell you. Have you ever... tried to speculate what's going to be at the banquet supper of the Lamb? Just think of your favorite food, and it'll probably be there. Bacon! Somebody say that? I don't know. But you know what? Oh, yeah. BLT sandwiches? That's just the appetizer. We don't know what it's going to be like, but we do know it's going to be a whole lot better than hell. And we get to be with the Lord. And we get to have peace and joy and serenity forever. Eternity. Eternity, man. You either spend eternity, as somebody said, you either spend it in the smoking or non-smoking section. I want to be in the non-smoking section. So I've trusted Christ. I hope you have too. And it's so very simple. It's more than just believing with your head. It's more than just speaking the words. The Jews spoke the words. We believe there's a God. We believe there's going to be a Messiah. But until they accepted it into their being, until they accepted it with all that they were, by faith. And when they did that by faith, their sins were forgiven. You were given a new spirit that can commune with the Holy Spirit that you were also given. And 1 John tells us that that new spirit can't sin. That means that once you're saved, you're always saved. Your flesh can still sin, and we need to fight with that. But your spirit is new. And now we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. That when we follow Him, He'll guide us. Here's the great news. If you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit within you, and you follow what the Holy Spirit does, you will never sin again. Because the Holy Spirit will never lead you into sin. Think about it. Every time you sin in the flesh, it's because you fail to listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Faith saves you. It starts with believing that there is a God that can save you, Jesus Christ. And when you change your thinking on that, the next thing is you believe. And that's what faith is, believing. Believing. Believing He died for your sins. Nothing else will save you. Just believe. That's what the world needs to hear. They also have to understand, when you believe in Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven, do your situations change? Not always. You could still be living in some terrible situations. Or, now you have the Spirit to guide you out of those. Faith saves you. Believing that Jesus died for your sin, that Jesus was buried, it's because He was really dead, and that He rose again the third day. The simple gospel. That's it, folks. If you're here this morning, I hope that you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, not just a head knowledge, heart too. Because the heart believes. It's your whole being. And if you haven't, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Because it really will change. Because you're given a new life, a new purpose, a new hope. And that's hope that we all need. Let's bow our heads, please. Just for a moment, ask yourself the simple question, have I had faith in Jesus Christ and had my sins forgiven? I guess another way of saying this is, am I 100% sure when I die I'm going to heaven? Not I think so, not I hope so, I know so. And if you haven't, It's as simple as what we just discussed. Believe that Jesus is God, that he can do what he promised, and then believe that what he did for you was die on that cross for your sins, buried, rose the third day. And when you have faith that he did it for you, and accept that by faith, your sins are forgiven. You'll be made a new creature. For those of us who experience the salvation of Jesus Christ, we need to take this and share it with as many people as we can. And let them know there is a God that loves you. And there is a God that made a way to be with him forever. I don't know what's in your heart right now. Perhaps you're praying for yourself for salvation, perhaps for others that you know. But let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and we praise your name for allowing us to see in your word. First of all, Lord, that there's not a set group of people that the salvation is for, but it's to whosoever shall call upon your name. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a whosoever. Thank you for the salvation we have through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that it was as simple as trusting you, believing in you, having faith in what you did. We pray, Lord, for those who don't know this, who've never accepted you as their Savior. We pray, Lord, that the truth would just be with them and, Lord, compel them to give their life to you, to trust you, to have faith. Help us, Lord, to be better witnesses. Lord, we believe you're coming back soon. Help us, Lord, to witness to as many as we can so that that banquet table would be filled, even as we learned in Sunday school, Lord, even if it means going to the highways and compelling them to come in. In Jesus' name, amen.